Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning and hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. Please take a look at it. You'll find these MP3 files of our radio program. You'll find TV video, 30 minutes in length, and you will also find a host of other Bible-related material that can help you in your study of God's Word and to understand the need for God in your life. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open mind, an open Bible, and we want to show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. This morning, we continue our study of the subject of the bread of life. We're looking at the life of Jesus on earth and the different aspects of that life. And this morning, we're going to talk about the first cleansing of the temple. We're going to begin this morning by reading from John chapter 2, verse number 12 through verse 25. Now, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So they are now in Capernaum after leaving Canaan. After working his first miracle, Jesus and his mother and his brothers and his disciples went to Capernaum and stayed there for a few days. Capernaum was located on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 2.5 miles southwest of the point where the headwaters of the River Jordan enter the sea. Capernaum will be discussed along with Jesus locating there in future lessons. The first cleansing of the temple takes place in this account. The first cleansing of the temple took place at the Passover feast, the first of four such feasts that Jesus would observe during his public ministry. It was one of the three great annual feasts of the Jews. The others were Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. Vast crowds would flock into the city of Jerusalem, and the temple would be the focal point of activity. The streets would have been thronged with the multitude moving towards the temple, and the temple itself further crowded by the merchants selling sheep, oxen, and doves. These also were tables of money changers. Money changers were necessary because a law established in Exodus 30:11-16. 20 days before the Passover, the priests began to collect this half shekel paid yearly by every adult Israelite, rich or poor, as an atonement money for his soul and to be applied to the expenses of the temple. Different kinds of money were in circulation from many different countries, with some of it was defiled by heathen symbols and inscriptions. It was not lawful to pay this kind of money. Therefore, an individual would go to the money changer to receive the proper coin in exchange for such currency and generally be charged 5% interest on this exchange. This merchandising would have been inexcusable, but necessary, if it had been confined to the streets leading to the temple. However, the considerable space of the court of the Gentiles within the temple precinct were used by the merchants and the money changers at their marketplace. Filled with righteous indignation at the abuse of his father's house, Jesus fashioned a whip of several small cords and unleashed his divine wrath upon those who so abused the temple. He drove out the sheep and the oxen and those who tended them. He turned over the tables of the money changers, throwing their coins onto the floor of the court of the Gentiles. He told them, told about selling doves, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a house of merchandise. Jesus, seeing his righteous indignation, his disciples remembered Psalm 69 and verse number 9. It is interesting that the leaders of the Jews did not dare to condemn Jesus for what he had done. Instead, they asked for some sign that would indicate that he had the right or authority to act such as he did. Jesus responded with, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They had no idea that Jesus was speaking of his crucifixion and his resurrection, two events that this day certainly helped to set in motion. Later, after the Lord had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered these words, and they had their faith strengthened. While still in Jerusalem, for the Passover feast, Jesus performed many miracles witnessed by a number of people. This caused many to believe in him, and Jesus, knowing all men, would not entrust himself to them. He knew their thoughts, their character, and the meaning and the reason of their faith. Why? Because he was God. He was the Son of God. He could see into the hearts of men. He could see the things that other men could not see because he was the Son of God. Now, in our lesson today, we've read of his first cleansing of the temple. We also see that this is a fulfillment of some prophecy in Psalm 69 and verse number 9. But I want you to see something else that I want to make a parallel to today in understanding the use of the Lord's house. You notice that Jesus is filled with righteous indignation because the house of his Father is being abused. How was it being abused? Now, it was necessary in order to have the proper currency to pay the tax that was due, but it also was true that they needed the animals to sacrifice. Now, those things, that's true, but the place of doing that was not in the house of God. The place of doing that would have been outside the temple court, and as we read earlier, you could have done it outside on the street, and there would have been no problem, and Jesus would have not been filled with righteous indignation. His righteous indignation came when they were abusing the use of what the Lord's house was to be used for. It was a temple of worship. It was a temple of prayer, a temple of reading and studying the law. They were abusing it by making it a house of merchandise. Now, I want you to understand the principle and understand today that many in the religious world do the very same actions that were being done here that gave the Lord righteous indignation and have no remorse or have no understanding that they're in the same dilemma that these money changers and those selling of these animals were in. Now, what do I mean? The Lord's house is his church, and his church has been designed and it has been given a work that is to do. The work of the church is really threefold. It is evangelism, it is personal edification of those who are saved, and it is the limited assistance of those in benevolence who are needy saints. We can read this throughout the New Testament, and we can see the examples of it in the book of Acts if you would care to check. And so those were the works that the church is to be involved in. We also see that God prescribed the worship of the church. The worship of the church is to be very simple. It is to be praying. It is to be singing. It is to be remembering the Lord's death by the Lord's Supper. And it is to be giving on the first day of the week. And it is to involve teaching of his word in a public proclamation. Now, these are the works of the church, and these are the worship of the church. Now, when men and women change the work of the church, and they change the worship of the church, then they are abusing the purpose of the Lord's house. Let me give you an illustration. When we use the Lord's house or things that were bought with the Lord's treasury, and we use them for social purposes, for feeding the hungry, for having a fellowship dinner, for having an ice cream social, or a spaghetti dinner, or a pancake breakfast, all of those are abuses of the Lord's house. They're abuses of how we use the Lord's money. They don't fit into the work of the church. They're not evangelism. They're not benevolence. And they're not edification. They are a social event. That is called the social gospel. The social gospel does not fit into the work and the pattern of worship that God gave his church to do. The Lord would be filled with righteous indignation today, just like he was then, when he would look at what people have turned his house into. They have turned it into an entertainment mecca. They have turned it into a social club. They have turned it into a welfare agency. They've done everything with it except what God designed for it to do. And that is to save the souls that are lost and to help strengthen those who are saved and to help those who are needy saints. Those things are put on the back burner, and what has taken its place is this social and entertainment agenda that these mega churches and community churches and so many of the other denominations are now engaged in order to please the people in the pew, in order to please the masses and fill demand of what they want and what they're seeking. Again, they have lost all concept of what worship is to be centered around. It is not centered around you, and it is not centered around me. And it is not done to suit you or to suit me. And it is not designed to suit you or suit me. It is designed to worship God, to pay him homage, to give him reverence, to hold and exalt his name, not yours and not mine. And the church is not a social club. It's not a welfare agency. The church was never designed to heal all the social ills of society, nor is it an entertainment mecca where we come to be entertained, when we come to be able to clap and to cheer at singing and skits and plays and such like that so many religions are doing today. What they are doing is the very thing that gave the Lord righteous indignation here when he cleansed out the temple. They are misusing and abusing the purpose of the Lord's house. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, I know that while you're listening to this, you'll think, well, if it was wrong, why are so many churches doing it? Well, they're doing it because that's what people want. That's what people are demanding, and they're feeding the demand. What I would ask you to do, dear listener, is open your Bible and see if you see any of these things in your Bible. See if you see any reference or any example of social things, of entertainment, of the welfare agency that the church has become in so many areas. See if that's what God designed the church for. And you will find that it is not in there. It is not there because that's not the design nor the purpose of the church. My suggestion, let's get back to doing Bible things in Bible ways. And let us get back to doing the Lord's work. And let's look to please him and not spend so much time in trying to please ourselves. Thank you for listening.